You work there, or you know someone who does. Those wide open spaces with people sitting side by side, little partitions between them. At the worst of times, it can sound like this. Anupa Iyer's semi-open cubicle at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is a far cry from that. Still, she says it can get noisy with visitors, interns, the mailman, and people walking to the lunchroom right across the hall.
You know, when I first started working here, there's activity going on. You know, people would like walk by the halls, or there would be, you know, folks popping in for meetings or like questions. And I couldn't really focus on whatever task I was doing, even like both substantive and not substantive work. My productivity was like not where I needed it to be.
Iyer is a lawyer and assistant to EEOC Commissioner Hy Feldblum. Her cube is right inside the door to Feldblum's suite. Now, part of Iyer's job is to do administrative odds and ends, greet visitors, be social. The rest of the time, she has to concentrate on disability policy.
What I love is to take the law and then to make it in an accessible, easy to understand format. So that does require a lot of legal analysis and thinking and writing, but also kind of creativity.
That's not easy to do when interns are asking questions and coworkers are constantly popping in to say hello. It could be distracting for anyone. Iyer says her attention deficit and bipolar disorders make it worse.
I tried to figure out like what were strategies that would help me sort of be here, because I need to be here, and also like get what I need to get done. And so I like remember that in law school, I would listen to techno music to just drown out everything else that was going on. It helps me focus and stay energized.
Iyer gamely plays her go-to work music for me. When she first started wearing headphones, it confused her colleagues. Should they disturb her or not? The answer was, sometimes. It depends. So Iyer began marking off the time periods when she needed solitude on a shared calendar. That set the stage, and more recently, she's been using color-coded cards to indicate whether people should come up to her.
This is a really innovative idea that it's from the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network. And so what they do, they share their offices, so it's two people in a space, and they use these sort of badges with colors. And the colors kind of each person, you know, depending on the day and hour, you have a green badge, a yellow badge, and a red badge. Green signifies like, it's essentially like saying my door is open, come on in, ask me questions. Yellow means like I'm working on something. And, you know, each person has their own sort of interpretation, but like yellow means like door's closed because I'm trying to do stuff, but if it's important or it's on the same issue, like project that we're working on, feel free to stop in. And then red means like, please don't talk to me, send me an email.
The cards, the music, the calendar, all of it is pretty cheap and common. That's true with most tools that can help employees make the most out of an open office, even if they have disabilities, says Stephen King. He's the director of the Defense Department's Computer Electronics Accommodations Program. It provides technology for workers with disabilities at more than 60 agencies. King uses some of the stuff himself because he has ADHD.
In an open air environment, I need to wear noise canceling headphones. Now, sometimes they are simply just blocking out the noise. Other times I find that I listen to classical music without words and it can drown out even what the noise canceling technology or whatever within the headphones themselves cannot block out. I can do it just by listening to soothing music. And the more people I talk to that have ADHD or something similar in which it's hard for them to concentrate, an item that's just $100 or less solves that problem.
Simple partitions like screens, drapes, or curtains cost about the same and do wonders, he says. Adjustable shelves and desks can work for people in wheelchairs who share office space. King says the solutions to most problems in an open office are easy to come by, as long as employers keep an open mind.
We just need to be creative, and we need to listen, and we need to communicate, you know, provide feedback, updates regularly, allow employees to share their concerns. If we do all of that, that can be accomplished, and I think it can be accomplished with very few problems.
Too often, though, that doesn't happen. Nadine Vogel runs Springboard Consulting, a firm that advises employers on accommodating employees with disabilities. One agency she worked with waited until 2 weeks before moving to an open space environment to launch discussions with employees. By that time, she says, employees were panicked. One even asked her if they should hire a lawyer.
When it comes to disability, employers tend to be fearful about communicating or over-communicating for fear that it's going to open Pandora's box and what's going to happen. But when we really step back and look at it, that communication or over-communication eliminates really the concerns they had in the first place. Because people feel comfortable, they have time to think through the process, people can have the dialogues that are needed, not in a compressed schedule, but in a, you know, in, over a period of time. And planning can be done appropriately and effectively.
Vogel says it's much easier and cheaper to get everything in place before moving to an open office than try to retrofit one after a move. But Iyer says she had to play around with what worked in her environment before settling on some solutions. Even now, she says, it's a work in progress.
It's scary, too, to kind of figure out, like, once your environment changes, just the physical space changes, like, what, I mean, for me, it was really, what accommodations do I need? Like, I can't have that conversation about putting in place some reasonable accommodations until I actually kind of figured out, like, in this current environment, in this job, how can I be productive and how can I also like leverage my disability to my advantage? I mean, it was an ongoing process for really myself, Commissioner Fallbloom, and Sharon Masling, her chief of staff, of kind of figuring out like what works for me, what works for them, how can we make this happen?
And as an employment lawyer and a disability advocate, Iyer says she'd like to see that type of back and forth between employees and employers everywhere. For now, at least, the techno music, cue cards, and communication with her coworkers seems to be working. And when the time comes, she says, she'll continue that conversation with her boss. For Federal News Radio, I'm Emily Kopp.